It has been a glorious time to be alive, and doing research in theoretical physics. Our picture of the universe has changed a great deal in the last 50 years, and I'm happy if I have made a small contribution. The fact that we humans, who are ourselves mere collections of fundamental particles of nature, have been able to come this close to an understanding of the laws governing us and our universe is a great triumph.
You're listening to physicist Stephen Hawking. This video was released by Cambridge University to mark the physicist's passing. Hawking died early this morning at the age of 76. Hawking is widely known for his work on black holes, the origins of the universe, and his book, A Brief History of Time, became a global bestseller. In his early 20s, Hawking was diagnosed with a progressive neurodegenerative disease and given only a couple of years to live. Hawking defied those odds to become one of the most well-known and celebrated theoretical physicists, or really scientists, period, on the planet. Sebastian Hines is a professor and chair of the astronomy department at the UW-Madison. Sebastian, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, that quote, he's happy if he's made a small contribution to our picture of the universe. He made at least a small contribution,
I would
right?
say that's an understatement and, you know, modesty on his part. Certainly, he's extremely well known for his work on black holes and on the nature of physics as a whole.
And he pursued this question of why is there a universe, basically, right? That was at the heart of a lot of what he did.
That's right. So he really picked at that scab, that open wound in physics of the connection of quantum mechanics and classical physics, relativity, that we still don't understand. And so his work on black holes and on the nature of the universe really tried to get at that question. How do we come up with a theory that describes the universe in completeness? And we don't have that yet, but he made really big steps towards that theory.
Now, as a scientist yourself with an interest in some of these questions, what was your reaction to this news that we woke up with today of the passing of Stephen Hawking?
Of course, I was very saddened. At the same time, you know, inspired by the legacy that he leaves behind and by his dedication and his perseverance to keep going and to work on these deep mysteries despite his disability and his disease, and to continue to make these great contributions. That's uplifting in a sense, right? And the ability for him to keep going way beyond the time he had been given, and I think that should inspire us all.
Let's talk about some of his contributions to what we know about the universe in as layperson's terms as you can. First of all, black holes. What kind of things did he, and often working in consultation with others, did he tell us about black holes?
So the concept of black holes arose very quickly after Einstein came up with this theory of relativity. But the real nature still eludes us to some degree. We don't really know what happens at the very center of a black hole, which is that question that Hawking was trying to address. And the first big major contribution was to try to understand the nature of singularities and to prove that singularities exist, at least in the classical picture of Einstein. And so he and Penrose worked at understanding what happens when the laws of Einstein fail, basically. And so he made some proof that singularities must have existed in the early universe and in the centers of black holes in the classical picture of Einstein. And that actually led him to question, you know, what are the actual laws that govern those places? And they must be different from just relativity.
And as I understand it, math almost kind of blows up.
Yes.
as you move into a black hole or a singularity. It looks like it shouldn't make any sense, but it looks like reality is even weirder than the math.
That's right. So so the math that Einstein would have used blows up, and it tells us that something else must take over. And that something else is quantum mechanics, a theory that Einstein actually got his Nobel Prize for, even though he wasn't fully supportive of the concepts and ideas behind it. And quantum mechanics is a really weird kind of theory. But at some point, quantum mechanics governs the microscopic universe and relativity governs the macroscopic universe. And at some point they must meet. And we don't have the physics to describe where they meet and what happens when they meet. But that's what Hawking was trying to understand. And so when the laws of Einstein blow up, the laws of quantum mechanics must take over in some way that we don't fully understand. And so his second contribution was actually to try to begin working this theory of quantum mechanics into the theory of black holes. And that's probably what he's most known for, this concept of Hawking radiation and what happens when quantum mechanics occurs at the what we call the horizon of the black hole, that allows a black hole to actually radiate, contrary to what people think of when they think of a black hole.
Right, we think nothing gets out.
Yes, exactly.
That's what happens in the movies.
That's right. And so Hawking predicted, and it's now widely accepted, that there is this form of radiation that black holes can emit. It's unavoidable. Just like other objects with a temperature emit, black holes also emit. Now, for most black holes that, as an astronomer like myself would study, this is not really an important process. It is so minimal that it would not affect the properties of black holes. But for small black holes, really microscopic black holes, it predicts that they can actually self-destruct. And so he kind of contradicted an earlier theory that he had formulated about the size of black holes always increasing. It turns out his Hawking radiation implies that black holes can actually evaporate.
Talking to Sebastian Hines from the astronomy department at UW-Madison, talking about the passing of Stephen Hawking. Looking at Albert Einstein, whose birthday would have been today, it turns out as well. A lot of what he did was the math and the thought experiments, and then people have been proving what he discovered observationally up till very recently with gravitational waves, which we've talked about. Is that something that's going to be happening now with Stephen Hawking for years? The stuff he sussed out, we're watching for evidence now.
Absolutely. I think the discovery of gravitational waves was actually not just a confirmation of Einstein's theory. There were some predictions that Hawking had made that were consistent with the discovery as well. And I think there's a quote from Hawking that, being asked about not winning a Nobel Prize, he said the things that he predicted are extremely hard to test. They are really scratching the limits of what's possible, even more than gravitational waves, I would say. And so this is something that will take a long time to probe. But we have, it took us 100 years to find gravitational waves after Einstein. And so we have a lot of time ahead of us to do some of this.
Can you talk about Stephen Hawking, not so much as a scientist, but as a voice, a representation in the public mind of what science is?
So Stephen Hawking was not just a brilliant scientist, as you say. He was an extremely visible and successful science publicist. So he made science available and understandable to a wide array of people. I actually, when I was a teenager, I read his book, Brief History of Time, which was one of the major motivations for me to go into physics. And I know many other of my colleagues had similar experiences. And he was obviously a very visible and recognizable figure. And he really worked hard to make sure that people understand the importance of science, the mystery of science, and the impact that science has on their daily life. And so he made public statements about many other things that we care about, climate change. He cared about the dangers of artificial intelligence, and what we should do if we encounter an alien civilization. So he really thought deeply about the nature of life, the nature of humanity, and the nature of the cosmos.
Now, he held Isaac Newton's old chair at Cambridge University, and I think it was Isaac Newton who talked about, hey, everything I've done, it's standing on the shoulders of giants, meaning
absolutely.
The people who came before me. I think Stephen Hawking had a similar attitude. Is he now one of those giants that you and future generations are going to be standing on the shoulders of?
Certainly, in the field of black hole research, there's a lot of work that will rest on his shoulders. And again, in the field of what we call quantum gravity, I think his work will be fundamental. Newton obviously is known for his great laws of mechanics and his laws of gravity. Einstein picked up where Newton left off, and Hawking basically took Einstein's laws of gravity and pushed them further towards that unified theory that we're all looking for.
Do you think we're ever going to get there, bringing together quantum mechanics and relativity and figuring out how they play with each other?
I'm a scientist and I'm an optimist, so I think that yes, we will eventually. Humanity is, I hope we have a chance to do this before we self-destruct. One of the things that Hawking warned us about, we really, this is the fundamental question for science, really, I believe, and physics is pushing in that direction. It is a very difficult problem, so it will take another brilliant mind to finally crack that puzzle.
Sebastian, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Sebastian Hines, professor and chair of astronomy at UW-Madison. He joined us to talk about the work and the legacy of physicist Stephen Hawking. Hawking died early this morning at the age of 76.